Great to gather together with you this morning. Did everybody get greeted? We'll do it again? Mike wants to do it again. I don't know about it. Did you get greeted, Mike? Anybody? Yeah, okay, yeah. Anyway, welcome. Welcome to Calvary Chapel this morning. And what an awesome time to be able to gather, just worship the Lord, and now to hear from Him as He speaks to us through His words. So let's get into it. We're traveling through the book of the Revelation, and we're in chapter 6. So turn to Revelation chapter 6 this morning. Now, the ushers have come down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible to study right along with us. Just raise your hand. We count it a privilege to pass a Bible to you. They also have pencils. If you need a pencil there for keeping notes, we encourage you to do that. But particularly, let's all make sure we have a Bible. And if you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours, of course. There's no charge for it. But for all of us, let's get our Bibles out and go to the book of the Revelation, the last book of our New Testament. Go to chapter 6. We have arrived at that portion of the book of the Revelation as we come to chapter 6. We've arrived at that portion where Jesus now has taken the seven-sealed scroll from the Father's hand, and Jesus has begun to loose each seal. Upon loosing those seals, that begins a whole series of events, of judgments and all, that are poured out upon this earth. And they make up what is commonly called the tribulation period. We looked at that last week. We went through this chapter and looked at the six seals. But this morning I want us to consider something that is provoked by the opening of the sixth seal. So go here in chapter 6 to verse 12. We're in the book of the Revelation, chapter 6. Go to verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal. Behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? We saw as Jesus began to loose each seal, first, that first seal ushering in the Antichrist. We saw the next one where war came. Third one, famines. Fourth, death. We saw the fifth seal as John looked and saw the martyrs who were crying out, Lord, when will you avenge what was done to us? But now the sixth seal. The sixth seal ushers in the scene of cataclysmic events on the earth and in the sky. Events that are just horrible as they are unfolding. But for this morning, having said all that, I believe we're to focus on one aspect of all this. Look at verses 16 and 17 again with me. As these events begin to happen, it says, those that are here on the earth at this time, they begin to cry out, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Therein lies our title for this morning, and I believe therein lies what I believe God would have us to focus upon. And it's captured in the last part of that statement, who is able to stand? Let's pray. Father, because of your love, you reach out to us. Because of your love, you pursue us. Make known to us your answers, your hope, the very life that you extend to each one who will receive. Because of your love, you give us your word, not just to be an academic, an intellectual exercise, but rather that you might pierce our hearts, that we might know, that we might be warned, that we might be comforted, challenged, healed, whatever the needs are, that's what you'd want to do this morning. Lord, all of us are here by your divine appointment. So Lord, now help us. Help us to hear. Help us respond. Lord, whatever needs to happen, whatever you see the needs are, Lord, thy will be done, we ask. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The context of these verses have to do with some people who had not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. They are people who either entered into or find themselves in this period of horrible events unfolding during this time that's referred to as the tribulation. Well, who are these people? Look at verse 15 again. It says they are the kings of the earth, great men, rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man. The idea is there are people who hadn't come to know him, and so the rapture has occurred at this point. The believers are out of here. But there are people who refused the Lord up to this point. And what they're finding is that they are all kinds of people and all conditions and of life and all. But what they're finding here, though they may be powerful people, they might be rich people, slaves, free people, all of them. But what they're finding is their money, their status, their rank offers them no help now. There's no help to be found in those things. For each one, their cry is the same thing. And what is their cry? Look again, verse 16. They're crying out to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Notice, they know why these events are unfolding. They know it's God, the Father, and the Lamb who's bringing his judgment upon this Christ-rejecting earth. They know where it's coming from. And they're crying out, hide us from it. Let me ask you something. All this is meant to be rhetorical, not to be responded to out loud, please, but to be responded in your heart to the Lord. Let me ask you a couple of things. First of all, as you read this, this reaction of where they're crying out, fall on us, hide us from God, hide us from the Lamb, hide us from these things that are coming down. Does their reaction surprise you? As you read this, do you find yourself saying, how stupid are they? Do you find yourself saying, do they really think that they can hide from God? God's everywhere. He sees everything. Nothing's going to hide from him. So perhaps you find yourself responding that, don't they know they can't hide from God? But you know, if you really think about it, their reaction isn't all that uncommon. Indeed, I would suggest that they are acting very human. Let me go even further. I would suggest that they're acting very much like some of us have, and maybe some of us even today are doing even now. Consider for a moment the first man and his wife. Way back at the beginning, you know the story. In Genesis, read how God made Adam, then he brought Eve to Adam. And there they were, living in harmony with God, living in a paradise created for them by God. But along came the enemy, and Adam and Eve fell to the temptation, disobeying God, and they fell. But what did they do at that point? What do they do after falling to this temptation? Do they run to the Father and seek forgiveness? Is that what we read? Do they cry out, God, help us, we've blown it, forgive us, please? Is that what we read? No. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. There it is. They don't cry out. They don't run to him. They run from him. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Thus began what man has been doing down through all the ages since. Man running from God. Man trying to hide from God. Rather than be confronted with sin and crying out to God, man instead tries to run from God, tries not to hear God, tries to hide from God. So we see man trying to deal with his sin all through that time by doing what? By trying to cover it up, by trying to hide from God. Come forward a little bit from the garden. Come forward to the time of David. David was that shepherd boy that God got hold of and made him the king of Israel. But you know his story also. He came to that time when he sinned with another man's wife. Then to deal with that, he has the man killed. And then he attempts to cover it all up, to hide it all. And for a while, he might have thought that he had indeed succeeded. But then God sends Nathan the prophet to David. And Nathan, in essence, says, David, God knows what you've done. Perhaps there was a time in your life when you tried to run from God, when you tried to hide from God. Perhaps you recall a time when you thought you could hide from God. What are some ways that people try to run and hide from God? Well, one way is they try to explain Him away. People gather in groups where they relegate God to a myth. They get together and commend themselves for their great intelligence and how they've been able to decide that God isn't there. No such thing as sin, no God. And so they relegate Him to being a myth or something. And they feel secure in that place. Well, that's a strange thing. I guess a hiding place feels safer when there's a bunch of people with you in it. It isn't safer, of course, but I guess they can feel like it. What are some other ways people run and hide from God, try to not be confronted by God, not deal with God? Interesting. It can be things such as some people try to run and hide in their work, become driven in that way, a workaholic. Some people become, they try to run and hide from God through relationships, through family, an overemphasis on things that get in the way of God first. Some people run and hide from God through a quest for money, for power, for fame, for sports, for hobbies. No shortage of ways people run and try to hide from God. Again, don't answer out loud, but where were you trying to hide when God found you? Maybe you're still trying. And that's what we're going to address this morning. Again, not to be asked out loud, but just between you and God, are you still trying to hide something from God today? You're not the gainer for it, you're the loser for it. It's an interesting thing. You ever noticed how some people hide from God by trying to convince you and themselves that they really have nothing to hide about? I'm not really that bad. Look at so-and-so. Look at they're into. I'm certainly not like them. And so we try to hide by comparing ourselves with others. I'm not a sinner. I'm basically a good person. You know what that is? That's trying to hide in a delusion. It's a self-deception. Lying to the mirror instead of getting honest before God. And you know what? All those things offer no more covering than these places do for these we see here in chapter 6. But having said all that, I want you to notice something else this morning. This isn't just a case of hiding, but rather it's actually hide and seek. Notice, I did not use the word game there. I did not say it's a game of hide and seek, for it is not a game. It's far from it. But it is hiding on man's part and seeking by who? By God. By God. from the very beginning, God seeking after man. Now that should put you in awe. That instead of writing you off, saying, fine, if you like it so much, keep it, even though it's going to eat you up like a cancer. Instead, he says no, and he pursues, and he cries out, and he calls us. Let it go. Turn around. Quit trying to hide, because you can't, and it won't serve you well. As Adam and Eve hid in that garden, as we just read about, who came to them? God. And what did God ask Adam in Genesis 3:9? We read it. He says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now, God knew exactly where they were. God wasn't saying, where are you? Where did I put Adam? I can't find him anywhere. No, it's a rhetorical question. God knows very well where Adam is, but he wants Adam to understand where he is. Adam, do you understand what you've done? Do you understand the distance it's put between us? The ramifications of the choice that you made? Adam, where are you? Do you see what you've done? But then what does he do as he comes to them? He provides a covering for them. He provides for them. Think of David, sitting there thinking he had it all covered up. No one knows. But God sent Nathan to David. Why? Simply to rub his nose in it and say, forget you? No, because God loved David. And he had better for David than David had for himself. Same for you. We think hiding that sin, allowing that thing in my life, I'll just keep it in the closet. Oh, I wouldn't want to give it up. Oh, how bad that would be. No, you're the loser for it. God has better for you than you do in that case. Because he knows what that thing will do and what a ripoff it is. But we allow it. We play with it. And God right now would be speaking to you. Are you trying to hide something that he wants to deal with? Are you believer? Are you, as a believer, running and hiding from God in some area? Think about the invitation that God extends to man. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It's an invitation, God says. Come. Don't try to run. Don't try to hide. Come, let us reason together. Though things are like this, I want to do a work in your life. Has not Jesus himself told us, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You were never designed to try to win the battle on your own, to defeat those things on your own, to carry the burdens of this life alone. Come to me, he says. Doesn't say come to religion. Come to churchianity. Come to being good. No, come to that personal indwelling relationship is the invitation. But think of it. God chases us, pursues us. Jesus said in John 7:37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It's like Kathy just pointed out for you ladies at your upcoming retreat. We have a thirst. Do you thirst? Are you trying to drink at some hidden sin? You trying to drink at some well that God said it's sand, it's rocks, it ain't going to satisfy. I got better. Come to me and drink. The point is, these are just a couple of the many invitations that God gives to us. Come. Quit trying to hide it. And come with it that it can be dealt with. So, here's this invitation to spend eternity with him. An invitation to have a life open before God, surrendered to God, experience his plans, his purposes. A life with no shame, all forgiven. An invitation to be part of God's great unfolding plan. And what does man so often do? He tries to run and hide. And again, thinking somehow he's the better for it. In our text this morning, the context is the church has been raptured at this point. The tribulation period has been entered. And it comes to this point where those that he's talking about, they have refused receiving Jesus. They have refused Jesus' offer of forgiveness of sins. And because of that, now horrible events are unfolding. And so they beg for a place to hide from the consequences of their decisions. But oh, how hard man's heart can be. You think at this point they'd at least cry out, God, forgive us, or, you know, help. They'd come to him. But instead, they try to find a place to hide. One commentator said that there is coming a day when the most expensive real estate on earth will be a good hole to try to hide in. Because that's what it's going to come down to. But their power and their wealth and their position won't help them, of course. They will stand before God and answer for these things. They will experience these horrible judgments. So that's the context. But again, I turn to us this morning. Let God speak to us this morning. No, we're not in their position. This is yet future time. But the running and the hiding is still going on by a lot of people. First of all, there may be someone here this morning, you've never really taken Jesus up on his offer of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. It's the only way you'll see heaven. Only way you'll avoid these coming judgments. He doesn't want you to go through these. He wants you to be with him. But you must act on it. You must personally confess your need, crying out, God, forgive me. Apply that payment of the cross to my life. And he will do it. But you must do that. Please know, the Lord in his love says to you, come. Yeah, your sins are a certain way, but I will wash them white as snow. God, Jesus said, he came to seek and save the lost. God still is pursuing. You don't know if you have tomorrow, but right now he's pursuing the lost. He's seeking you. Stop hiding today. Stop trying to hide today. But now what about those who have received Jesus as Savior? I speak to you, believer. I wonder if there's someone who, like David, you know God, but you're trying to hide your sin. Some place that you know God wouldn't have you to do, to think, to act upon, to have going on. Or maybe it's something you should have done and didn't do. Or respond to his call upon your life. And it's an area of disobedience, whatever it might be. It's some place you got separate. Somebody's trying to just keep going on. Will we learn the lesson? Jesus says, come to me with that. It is not serving you well. It is ripping you off. It is a cancer, a spiritual cancer that'll eat you up. You'll never get victory over it on your own. And you've got to get over this delusion that somehow it's okay or good, or you need to keep that fantasy going on. You need to keep that attitude. Oh, I could never, I couldn't live without it. It'd be hard. It's ripping us off. It's keeping from all he has, even in that area. And until you bring that thought captive and learn how to do that, you won't get victory over it. It just keeps beating you up. The psalmist said in Psalm 133, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? So we come back to the psalmist is basically saying with these here in chapter 6 are saying, Lord, who's able to stand before you? The psalmist is saying that, Lord, if you keep track of sin, if you tally up sins, I've had it. Who could stand, he says. See, it's not a place when it comes to standing before God. It's not a place of self-justification. Our works are indeed sinking sand. Our money can't buy salvation. Our money can't buy peace with God throughout the day. Believers, those things don't work, do they? Who can stand before God? The psalmist learned who can stand, for he goes on to say in the very next verse, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. If that's not good news to you, then I don't know what would be. God, who can stand? Lord, if you mark iniquities, if I got to answer for this, then who could ever stand? But instead, what do we find? There's forgiveness with you, God. And it's my privilege and calling today, but I must confess, I feel like I do it so poorly. And yet, all I can do is what God allows me to and calls me to and enables me to do, and that is declare to you, He loves you. But He grieves for you when you allow something in there that's in the way. It's not worth it. For He's declaring to you, there is forgiveness with Him. Why? That He can be feared. See, in heaven, He'll be worshipped. He'll be praised. It won't be us standing around saying, look how great I am. I earned this forgiveness. I earned my way here. But rather, in this life and on into eternity, the declaration will be, God, you did all this. And so He'll be feared and worshipped and honored and praised and glorified because He'll have done it. So what's our part? Come. Just surrender it. Cry out. Confess your need that you might experience the forgiveness and the victory and the help that you need. Who can stand? That's the question. Who can stand? As we read these chapters about the end time events and the scene in heaven, who stands there? The redeemed of the Lord stand there. The martyrs for Jesus stand there. But the question is, will you be one of the standing ones, or will it find you trying to be one of the hiding ones? See, it's up to you. It's your move. For those who haven't received Christ yet, please know this. No decision is a no decision. It's one or the other. Either you receive or you don't. Believer, is it time to quit trying to keep something separate from Him? Something you've been trying to hide or excuse that He's saying you need to surrender it. You need to let it go today. You don't hide your sin from God because you turned off the lights. You don't hide your sin from God because you got under a blanket as if somehow He can't see through a blanket. And His heart breaks. And it's my privilege to proclaim to you, He's saying, come on. Let's get that dealt with. Last week, we went through a really great timeline, a PowerPoint presentation of the six seals. You know, we looked at the various horses and what they represented as the riders came forth. And I got a lot of good feedback from many of you. Oh, I love that PowerPoint. I love the visual effect and all that. Good. It's good stuff. It's put in here for us to study and know and learn. But let me ask you something. If all it was an academic exercise, if we weren't different, if this last week wasn't any different from having studied that last week, then what the point? Just I academically now intellectually understand who the horses are and what they mean. Great, but it's meant to what? To warn us, to encourage us as who we belong to comfort us, to challenge us, get the message out. All those things it's about. See, when you come to something like this, application, and we start saying, Pastor, can we go back to the other stuff? I like we talk about it and the overheads, and I like that, but all of a sudden now you're getting personal, Pastor. This stuff about running and hiding, because it's always supposed to be personal. All of it. He's in control. He's in charge. And He's got the best for us. And there's coming a day when these judgments are going to come forward, and we must be found in Him. And so that's the loving admonition this morning. So I'm wondering if there's anybody this morning that wants to quit trying to run and hide from God. Going to invite our worship team up for a moment. But now as the worship team comes up, typically this is when I hear all the Bibles start doing this. And we start rummaging for our keys and your purses and your... Let's not do that for just a moment. But instead, let's give an opportunity to stop running and hiding from God wherever you're at with Him. This morning, wouldn't it be great to leave here not trying to carry that guilt anymore. What does John tell us? He says, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. But if we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we sit here and say, oh, not me. My thought life is pure. My actions are great, etc., etc. Then, well, you're the exception, I think. Because I think God would have me share this because I suspect there's a number of us need to get some things straight. Let's pray. Father, all because you love, you're speaking to hearts right now. That people might leave here this morning different than we came in. That the one who doesn't know you would know you. The one who knows you but has been heavy laden with guilt. Lord, you proclaim there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Oh, if we would just come. So Lord, in this time, I pray, Lord, touch hearts. Minister. Help us not to just rush through this. Help us not to excuse it. Help us not to wish so-and-so were here, but help us to let you do business with us right now. I want to extend an invitation, first of all, to anyone who's never received Jesus as Savior. I'm not talking about those who you know Him, but you need to come back. You know Him, but you need to straighten out something specific in your life. This is the first time receiving the Lord time right now. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you need to. And He wants you to. Quit trying to run and hide. You're not winning from that. You're losing. So during the song, if you've never received Jesus, come up front. I count it a privilege to lead you in a prayer. Again, this is just for those who would like to receive Christ as Savior for the first time. Now, believer, it's time to quit trying to run and hide from Him in that area. It's time to surrender it and ask for His victory, His strength, asking Him to help you walk in all He'd have. You know, we ask the Lord, Lord, and we're told we desire to be made more and more like Jesus. Maybe Christ-like is our prayer. When we say that, we're saying, Lord, I understand I'm under construction. I'll have it all. Every closet, every corner, everything. And so in His love, He points out, hey, you got an attitude here. You got some covetousness. You got some lust. You got pride, arrogance. You think it's okay to have that area where you gossip and backbite. Or whatever it might be, He just might be saying, you know I'm calling you in this area, but you're putting your fingers in your ears because you don't want to obey. Again, all of it thinking somehow we do better. We'll be the gainer for it. When we're not, we're the loser. So now I address you, believer. Is there an area that you need to surrender this morning? Something you think is hidden from Him, but He knew all along, and because He loves you, He's speaking this morning to you. He's got you here by divine appointment because He wants to give you victory in that. He wants you to learn how to bring that thought captive. So whatever it might be, this is the time. I invite you, believer, to come up, signifying that you're surrendering that area. I mean, it's time to be delivered from that guilt that you've been dragging around. And just say, God, here it is. I invite you, believer, come on up and let me say a word of prayer for you. So I'm sitting there last night, and I'm looking at my notes. See, obviously diligence calls me to have some notes put together before we gather. But it's always the case, if God doesn't do it, then why be here? But I particularly sat there last night, and I really felt the Lord saying, reminding me, saying, you understand, Dale, this is a spiritual battle. It's not about my eloquence, thank God. Not about the well, perfect 1, 2, 3, 4 points in your notes. It's a spiritual battle, Dale. And remind me of that. And this morning, I felt it again. And so I found myself thinking last night and again this morning, God, I hope you got some people praying. So if you last night felt God tug on your heart saying, you know what, I think I'm supposed to pray for the pastor, or I'm supposed to pray for the church tomorrow. Or maybe on the way here this morning, you had a little extra time, and you felt God saying, well, pray for the church service. That's why. Because this is a spiritual battle. To the enemy. The enemy can't steal your salvation, believer. They can rip you off of your peace. He can get in the way of you hearing all what God would have for you, experiencing all what God would have for you, those plans and purposes, his very best. He can try to, he can rip you off of those things. This is a spiritual battle. So if there's a battle going on in you right now, that's just demonstration of that. These have come forward because they're saying, I got to give this to you, God. I'm tired of it. I want to just experience all you have. Whatever represents coming up here for them. But now what about you? Be honest for God for a moment. Yeah, but if I go up there, people are going to wonder why. Don't worry about it. It's what is God saying. And if someone else judges you, then they need to come up for that. Now, can I just for a minute address those of you that are the same gender, men? I mean, I'm not saying it's unique to men, but my experience working with guys and everything is, are you really going to sit there, man, and run and tell me, no, my thought life is pure as the driven snow? Never have a lust, never have a fantasy. Never think about that coworker, neighbor, or whoever. I don't covet that guy's stuff. I never get angry. I never get mad, punch anything. I have nothing hidden from God. Are you really going to say that, guys? Men, if you stand before God and say everything's great, but if not, this is the time. Get it straight. Now, it's not just getting up, but if it represents God, I'm surrendering that area to you. I'm tired of it. I've learned it doesn't serve me well. Every time I go that direction, every time I choose that thing, or actually go do it, it always beats me up and rips me off. And it's time to let it go. So I'm going to just take another moment here and go through another chorus or so. And for both genders. Just speaking from a guy though to the guys, but for all of us. Be honest with God. There's something you need to say, God, take it. I surrender it. Whatever it is, this is the time. Let's sing another chorus. Does your hand, your heart, all of it, you just say, Lord, here it is. I'm gonna pray for those of you who come up front here. It's a collective prayer, of course. I encourage you, take some time real soon, this afternoon, maybe get alone somewhere, go to our prayer room, because there's a prayer that you need to pray that I can't pray for you, where you get specific with God, because I don't know what's brought you up, but He does. So take some time and surrender that thing, give it to Him. Now, yes, there's a concern, well, I've tried before, how do I, see, it's as you continually come, bringing that thought captive, bringing that out, as you come with those things and cry out, God, as you cry, God, help me hate sin like you do. Help me see this thing like you do. Help me see it's not what the enemy's trying to say it is, but it's what you say it is. And then help me, God, to see it your way. Help me choose your way. Help me to obey you in this thing, wherever it is. And ask the Holy Spirit to give that power, for He will, if we as believers just avail ourselves of it. So take some time real soon and get that thing squared away, whatever it is you've come down here with. Again, get specific with Him. But right now, it's my privilege just to pray for you in general. Matter of fact, let me ask something real quick, because I want to make sure we're on the same page. At this point, I was inviting those who knew the Lord to come forward, but there's something in your life you're hiding. But first things first, is there anybody here who's never received Christ as their Savior for the first time that wants to do that? If you haven't done that, this is the time, and I'd be glad to lead you in that prayer if you've never done that. Just raise your hand and let me know. I want to make sure we're real clear. Okay. You haven't received Christ before? Come on up. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? What's your name? I'm sorry, what?
Giovanni.
Giovanni. It's my privilege. I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer right now, okay? This is a time when it represents that you're asking Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you. You agree to that? Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. I'm going to ask you to repeat out loud so I know that you're following me here. And we're going to go for it. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I confess.
I confess.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
To die for my sins.
To die for my sins.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for forgiving me.
Thank you for forgiving me.
Thank you that I belong to you now.
Thank you that I belong to you now.
Help me now to follow you.
Help me now to follow you.
And I thank you in Jesus' name.
And I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Good stuff. God bless you. God bless you. All right. All right. You know what? That man right there, go see that man right there. He's got something we want to make sure you get your tracking with the Lord here. So that man right over there, he's got his hand up. That's Rudy. Giovanni, go see him. He's got some stuff just to help you get tracking with the Lord here. There's good stuff all over the place. Okay. For the rest of you, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, it's my privilege now to stand with each one who's come forward, Lord, to kind of just pray a prayer that kind of wrap us all up together, Lord. And so, Lord, for each one, Lord, we bow before you. And Lord, that thing that is on each one's heart, that thing that you laid your finger on this morning, I just lift them to you. And Lord, we say, take it. We surrender it to you right now. Lord, forgive. Pour out your forgiveness. Fill each one with that hope, just that awesome heart knowledge, that peace that passes understanding, just knowing now, Lord, that you drew them not to condemn, but to forgive and to cleanse. And as they ask, you do it, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for each one that today would be a start of victory in that area as they look to you instead of trying to do it on their own. As they bring it to you rather than trying to hide it. As they begin to see these things as you see it. As they begin to just develop a real yuck factor towards it all and instead lean on you. Look to you. Experiencing you ministering and delivering and giving victory in those areas. Father, we know it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. So help them to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit each step now as they go forward from this time. Lord, thank you. You are the God who pursues. You're the God who seeks. And you do it because you love. So help us now, Lord. Help each one. I pray indeed you help them carve out some time with you to get these specific things straightened out. But Lord, each day now, let these things that in the past have been a struggle, let it now be an area of victory. an area where they see you touching and changing and working, Lord. And Lord, how we thank you. If you were to count sin, if you were to count iniquities, who could stand? But in you there is forgiveness. And so for each one, Lord, I lift them to you now. And I thank you. And I do it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you each. Each one of you. Awesome. Let's all stand. Who is able to stand? The question in the text this morning is, who's able to stand? The answer is those who had come. It's those who run and try to hide that cry out, who can stand? Because they didn't come. But those who had come, we see them there in heaven, praising God. See, they know the answer. Those who come know the answer to the question, who can stand? Those who come are the standing ones giving praise to the Lamb. They don't fear the wrath of the Lamb. They're singing the praise of the Lamb. So for every believer, that's the case. Because Jesus makes us to stand. Think about that. Because of that, we will be victorious. We are victorious. We're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. So, who's able to stand? All those in Jesus. Just keep tracking with Him, leaning on Him. Thank God. Thank God we have a place to stand, and it is indeed in Jesus. Heavenly Father, all praise, all glory, all honor to you for this work you've done this morning and for the way you continually work in our lives. May you find in us those who are very sensitive to and yielded to you. As you would lead by the Holy Spirit, you'd find us very surrendered. So Lord, have your way now. And again, thank you. On you we stand. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.